The following is an audio version of the Off the Record videocast. Friends of Fantasy Benefits has partnered with Nickel Press TV to bring this weekly edition to our show. Every week, host Andy Singleton are joined by Tehil Bedek and Salim Parekh, the fantasy doctor, as well as some of the leading fantasy football minds in the industry. You can watch the full version on friendsoffantasybenefits.com or on the Nickel Press YouTube page. Hope you enjoy the show.
My name is Chandler Jones. I caught 248 receptions at San Jose State and 33 touchdowns. Catch me off the record.
All right, welcome back. This is Off the Record. I want to thank you for checking us out, giving us a little bit of your time. Please check out our partners, Dynasty Football Factory, Fantasy Assembly, Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Please check out our sponsors as well, RevoLabels.com, as well as Custom Fantasy Rings, where you can get actual bling to put on your finger if you win your league championship. I want to thank the Reddit readers and subscribers that have been checking out these shows Off the Record right here on Nickel Press TV. Please, I want to remind you to like the videos and subscribe to them. Leave your comments as well. I do want to point out that this is not necessarily a political show or a baseball show, but I just came back from Tampa where I learned of the news of Jose Fernandez passing, and I kind of wanted to mention that real quick before we started. And then today, Tuesday, the Fire Department of New York City, which employs me full-time, we lost a brother of mine, Chief Michael Fahey, in an explosion. So I just wanted to make mention of that as well and just kind of dedicate the show to him and to all those that might be close to you that have been lost recently. I say this because going back to Jose Fernandez, it was a tragic and sudden loss, but everybody's marveling at how much he celebrated life. So life is short. Celebrate it. We're going to get onto the show and we're going to celebrate life. And I'm pleased to have two fantastic an amazing guest this week. We are joined by professional wide receiver Chandler Jones. He is the San Jose State Spartans all-time leader in receptions and receiving touchdowns.
How are you guys doing out there?
Why don't you tell everybody how they can find you on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook, any of your social media you might want to plug?
On Twitter and Instagram, it's all the same, JetJones89.
Also joining this week, running back, I don't even know how to phrase this properly. I'm just going to say Joe Holka, who's currently writing for 444.com. He has his running back model, rushing expectation, and it is basically filling a void for breaking down running backs in fantasy football that was kind of sorely needing somebody to fill that void. So I want to personally thank you for doing that and congratulate you on your newfound success and wish you continued success with that. So Joe, welcome to Off the Record.
I appreciate you having me on. I think this is kind of an awesome concept that you guys have going on here. So appreciate the kind words. It was a lot of fun kind of developing that methodology this summer and going through my first initial 20 players, and hopefully we'll be doing it for a lot of off seasons to come.
I'm just going to jump right into it. We've been hearing a lot of debate about the Falcons trying to force feed Tevin Coleman into the mix. Finally got to see that kind of happen this weekend where both Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman had successful week threes. If you had to only choose one of these two guys, who would it be?
Man, that's tough because both of them stat line wise were pretty close. But from me watching the game and as a fan, I loved Freeman's carries and what he did with the ball. I seen him give a mean stiff arm to one of the corners. And after that, I was sold. And he with the ball, he did a lot of good things. He was able to catch the ball out the backfield, was able to tote the rock pretty nice. It's just tough because you get Coleman in there and he just kind of eats away points by getting those touchdowns and then on the goal line. What, he had three, I think, rushing touchdowns or something. So
what could be considered the 2015 Devonta Freeman line with those three touchdowns last night?
Coleman is a guy that I did go over this summer in my rushing expectation methodology, but he makes a good point. Freeman's going to be one of the primary beneficiaries in the passing game because he is so good out of the backfield. And it's kind of a situation where they're both going to cannibalize each other a little bit, which is unfortunate. And I kind of think that Tevin Coleman, breakaway speed is something I think that's kind of overrated at the running back position overall. I think that if your back gets into the second level where you can kind of open up his stride, speed can be a great thing, kind of from the casual football fan watching a game. But it's not every play that a running back's going to get 7 to 10 yards of a head start to get downhill. And I just think Devontae Freeman's a better player overall. It's not to say that Coleman had a bad year last year. He was actually pretty good in games that Freeman was out. But with games when both these guys are playing, I think that Coleman is going to have his games like this where he scores some touchdowns at the edge because he does have that speed. He can get to the edge kind of at will, but he's not a very good fit for this zone blocking scheme in general. I think it was more of a draft pick to Kyle Shanahan, was just hoping that it would kind of offset their poor offensive line just kind of by drafting a player that if he did make one cut up field and break some long plays, that elite speed and burst alone would kind of make him an asset to this offense. But I think that Freeman, he wasn't the most efficient back between the tackles last year anyway, but I think that for the most part, he's going to remain the primary guy in the passing game, even though like Coleman has had, I think he's averaging over 3 touches out of the backfield per game in the receiving game. But I don't know if that's going to continue. I still expect Freeman to be more active in the passing game. And I think that even though Coleman's a higher draft pick and Freeman wasn't really a part of this coaching regime, I think I'd rather have Freeman if I was to choose one.
Yeah. Now, obviously we see the best of both worlds last night, but that's not going to happen every week. And I mean,
they're not going to play the Saints every week either.
Exactly. And, you know, that kind of scares me away from wanting any part of this backfield because, you know, I feel like I'm just going to wind up starting the wrong guy if I have them both.
How about that Saints defense? That's the worst defense performance I may have ever seen. The injuries have just decimated them. It is just absolutely disgraceful out there. There was nothing they couldn't do. Julio Jones didn't even need to be addressed in the game. Like, I mean, Sanu was not really a factor. I mean, it was gross. I mean, but I like Coleman. I remember this is a little revenge to the people like that took Coleman higher last year because he was named the starter and some lucky guy got Freeman late. This year, the tables have turned most definitely, and it's kind of back in a share situation. I think maybe they just want to keep Freeman fresh. He's not really the Vegas dude, so maybe they just kind of want to split him. And I thought Coleman looked really good, man. He runs really hard. I see some haters in the house are doubting my boy Coleman, but I like what he's doing out there, and I'm not going to stop him.
I regret what I did leading up to this week. I drafted Marvin Jones pretty much everywhere, and I'm getting ready to start selling him off if I can. I just traded him right before this 6 reception, 205-yard, 2 touchdown performance, which leads me to the question, Where is Golden Tate and what is going on with Golden Tate? Because if you look at their involvement in the offense, Marvin Jones did this on just 8 targets. Golden Tate had 6. So it's not like it was a huge disparity.
It's crazy because in the offseason they made a lot of moves to kind of fill in for Megatron's departure. So to see a lot of guys that they get step in and play like this right now is pretty good. But in terms of Marvin Jones, I don't know. That was a crazy, crazy week. You would want to see him replicated. I didn't really get a chance to watch that game, so I can't really tell you personally what he did. I just saw the stat line and I was kind of blown away. But, I mean – big play guys going to make big plays when the lights are on.
Are you worried going forward that Golden Tate might not get to what we kind of were hoping and expecting him to be this season?
I feel like the explosion of Marvin Jones actually helps him. With a lot of teams in game planning, once they see something like that, they have to respect it. So it depends on the defense that they're kind of up against that week, you know. If they want to kind of focus in on keeping Marvin blanketed a little bit, then it's going to open it up for Golden. But it's a little tough to say. You kind of have to just pick your poison and just go with it and see how the dice rolls.
For all intents and purposes, I think that Jones and Ebron are kind of the two top receivers in this offense right now, and they're really the only two that are getting targets downfield. And obviously after this huge 200-yard multiple score game and of Marvin Jones, people might be off Golden Tate a little bit, and they might be right. He might be closer to Theo Riddick in terms of his usage than he is to Jones. He's only averaging 7.2 yards per reception this year. And Jones in particular, he's almost falling into that kind of that Calvin Johnson role. Obviously, he's not near the same player, but as far as the rule, we know Stafford is prone to honing in on a single target and throwing up those YOLO balls quite frequently downfield. And I don't know, I like Jones a lot going forward. I think he's still kind of undervalued and underpriced in DFS. And last week I got off him a little bit just because that game was supposed to be windy. I actually moved to some Golden Tate, which obviously wasn't the right call. So still a little tilted about that. But yeah, I do like Marvin Jones going forward.
Is this something that is going to be, is he a weekly 100-yard receiver?
Possibly in this offense. I mean, I'm surprised you traded him, or am I? I'm not sure. But we need to get my boy Jim Caldwell on the phone and maybe get Chandler tryout out there, because after the top two, three guys there, like, what's the receiving core looking like there? I think he has a spot there waiting for him. I'd like to see that. That could definitely happen. Caldwell, I got him on speed dial. I'm going to hit him up after this. Yeah, Marvin, you had shame on you. We had all these special guests come through, say what a legend he was, say how he's going to go off, giving you the stats, breaking down all the numbers like they do, going deep into their books, looking over all the usage rates, blah, 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 blah. And he was supposed to go off this year. Tate, I can't really describe what's happened to this guy. It's not looking good, man. I don't know what's going on. It looks like he's getting hit real short. Hopefully he gets down the field a little bit more. It seems natural that he'll eventually get more involved. Marvin Jones used to be a little injury prone, so maybe keep an eye out on that. Maybe you'll get lucky you traded him or not. But, I mean, he's balling out right now. I got him rated pretty high this week again in another nice matchup, and I think he goes off again. So, yeah, you might rue the day you dumped him off on somebody.
The value would have been much higher had I held on after this game. So I don't really regret it. It just, you know, it was kind of a little bit of salt in the wound. But I'm going to keep it with you real quick, because you were high on Terrell Pryor this week. He had 14 targets for 8 receptions, 144 yards. He was running the ball, 4 carries, 21 yards. Is this sustainable? Are you surprised at the amount of work he got? I know you predicted him to break out this week, but you even got to be surprised at what the final results were, no?
Yeah, well, while you was back on road like Gucci Mane, I was watching Terrell Pryor eat all day long, like I've been waiting on, like I've been expecting all season long. I've been disappointed with the production thus far. The targets were there. The production was there, just not quite there. It's just getting missed a little bit. I am not a Cody Kessler fan. He surprised me a little bit there. He kind of went off. He fed him. The only thing I'm worried about with Pryor is Gordo coming back. That's definitely going to eat into the targets. But while he's out there, I mean, the guy looks legit. I mean, it's insane to me. When he was with the Seahawks, like, trying out and stuff, I wanted them to keep him so badly. This guy looks like he was he's just an absolute freak show out there, man. He's totally picked up the position. He's definitely above average, possibly with star potential at the receiver position. It's really amazing transition. And they're going against the Redskins this week. I think he goes off again. I wonder if Norman's going to shadow him or not. I'm interested. Can he handle him one-on-one? All of a sudden, that's filthy out there. You got Pryor, Gordon, and Coleman. That's sick. I mean, they went from having one of the worst receiving groups with Bo and White Boy. I'm not even going to respect him enough to say his name. I can't remember it. But, yeah, they're both gone. And now they got these three hogs out there. Unfortunately, McCown and RG3 are out, so we'll see if Kessler can get it done. But, I mean, they got a great three-receiver set. Maybe Barnage can even, you know, make something of himself again, but I'm not so sure. But receiver-wise, they're looking great for the future as long as Gordon can stay out of trouble. I'm loving it.
I had Chandler down as one of the future building blocks of that Browns receiving core. You were originally – that was your first organization was with the Browns. So how much are you still paying attention to what's going on in Cleveland?
Oh, man, I've been keeping an eye on it just because I met a lot of good people over there and had a lot of good relationships over there too. So – I just check in and just see how things are going. But, man, that three receiving beast right there that they're building right now is something nice.
Well, you figure, you know, everybody talks about Josh Gordon's size. Terrell Pryor is even bigger, isn't he? Isn't he like an inch or two taller?
I believe so. I haven't seen him in person, but I mean, I think so. They said he was a basketball, like, freaking god out there when he played when he was younger.
All right. So my same question to you that I asked Tahal, were you surprised by just the volume of targets he was receiving? And is this something you think, like, even with Gordon coming back, like you said, they're just building. Are you convinced that this could be the real Pryor that we're seeing? Or do you think this is just kind of like by default, like they had no other options this week, so just throw it to the only guy that possibly could catch the ball and see what happens?
No, I'm sold right now on Pryor. I mean, I try to get him off waivers myself, but But I think he definitely is going to get a lot of touches because also in goal line, they have a couple of packages with him at quarterback. So, I mean, that's looking nice too, you know. But I definitely think he's going to get a lot of touches, especially with Gordon coming back because teams have to respect Gordon. I've seen that man myself, and some of the things he did, I was sitting there contemplating if receiver was still my thing, you know. But okay. But yeah, they got to respect him out there, and that's going to open a lot of things up for Pryor. So,
well, I should point out that Chandler is 3-0 this season, so we should be asking him definitely for his advice. And I'm glad you mentioned the waiver wire, which is going to transition me to asking Joe if Pryor's available. Is he somebody you're putting a priority waiver claim in for, or do you think this is just kind of okay? He had a nice weekend, but this is not the real him. And it'll simmer down again a little.
No, I think Pryor's, he's a dynamic player. I mean, we saw his ceiling, I think, this past week. I don't know how much more work he's going to get as a quarterback or how much work he's going to get on the ground. But I think even when Gordon returns and when Corey Coleman's obviously on track to return at some point, he's obviously going to see less volume. But I think he's got big playability and his size advantages he's going to have on the majority of the corners of the league. And I'm not the biggest Cody Kessler fan either. One thing he is accurate, and these receivers are doing a lot of their work after the catch. So it's not like he has to be throwing bombs to these guys either. If he can get Pryor in space, if he can get Josh Gordon in space, I think he's going to rack up points that way too. So I think Pryor is definitely a guy that should be owned across all fantasy leagues, but I don't know if he's a wide receiver 3 for me the rest of the season, if I could say that.
Let's take it to Seattle. Another guy Tahal said was going to break out this week in the absence of Thomas Rawls sitting out with an injury was Christine Michael was going to finally break out. And he did 20 carries, 106 yards, 2 touchdowns.
You know, Rawls is one of my guys this offseason. He's a guy that performed exceptionally well on my methodology. He was 11.5% above his expectation and number 3 overall out of my initial 20 players. And he's a quick runner, plays a low center of gravity, but his burst and acceleration I thought was special. And he's got elite finish. He's got balance through contact, probably better than most guys I saw this summer. But all indications pointed to him being in for a major role. And I think I might have underestimated Christine Michael. I think a lot of people have been burned on him in the past, but he's looked fantastic. So I don't know if you can really underestimate that anymore. But what's really too bad is I don't think either players are the next Marshawn Lynch. I don't know if that's even possible. But if Rawls and Michael somehow combined into one player, I might feel that way. But I don't know if either guy is going to completely take over that kind of production we saw with Lynch. So it's a situation where even when Rawls returns, we might not have the answer for quite some time. But from a talent perspective, I do really like Rawls still. And I think if he can get healthy, I still think he's a better player. But like I said, I did underestimate Christine Michael a bit.
Essentially, what you're saying is if everybody's healthy, Christine Michael is the best backup running back in the league right now.
He's up there, that's for sure. I think it's going to be a committee and a good committee at that.
Have you bought another Christine Michael jersey yet?
No, I usually don't like to buy jerseys of guys who I don't think are going to be here. And I think he's going to ball out so hard that somebody's going to pay him big-time contracts. So he's going to be gone. And then I don't want to be one of those dudes that shows up to the game with the jersey of the dude who's no longer there because that's just kind of, I don't know. He broke a couple early, like I was kind of hoping he would, got his first. He had never even scored a touchdown before. He used to not even be able to carry the ball in his left arm. I mean, it's the craziest thing for a running back. Even when he's running to the left, always in the right side. I seen him carry it on the left side. He's a new man. It's going down. I was worried about Rawls. Like, you know, just the whole offseason, the thing seemed weird. The injury, I wasn't really understanding what was happening. He just doesn't look right, really. And then, so I think Michael has a chance here to, you know, if he balls out, they're not going to take the job away from him. Plus, Rawls is kind of banged. I mean, it's going to be multiple weeks at least. Maybe he never gets right for this season. So for this season, it's got to be Michael. But I'm hoping Rawls does come back and kind of resembles the guy he was last year for the Seahawks' sake. But right now, I think Michael's like definitely a top 15 running back. Well, he's getting all the carries. Procise, the guy you like, is so soft. He's injury prone. He's still not playing at all. So, yeah, Michael's a dude. And then your other boy, Alex Collins, who you said was far superior, to Christine Michael is, you know, he comes in for a couple boring carries every once in a while. So you got that going for you. But other than that, yeah, Michael is the dude. It's tough treading maybe against the Jets out there, but I think he has 70, 80, maybe a touchdown, something like that.
Yeah, well, as long as Fitz doesn't throw five interceptions, we might actually be in that game.
Oh, my God.
And yes, don't forget Alex Collins. Don't sleep on Alex Collins. All right, once again, we are joined by the fantasy doctor, Dr. Ceelan Parekh, Duke University fame. We're going to jump right into the Seahawks because I know that's burning a hole into Hall's brain, whatever brain cells are left there. What's going on with Russell Wilson? And is this something we should be like severely concerned about?
So I think each one of these individual injuries on their own, not a big deal. But when you stack up two ankles that now have high ankle sprains and a knee that has an MCL sprain, this becomes a bigger issue. And so, you know, even with the one high ankle sprain, you saw decreased mobility. He really couldn't get out of the pocket and run well. He didn't look like Russell Wilson-esque. I think it's going to be a bigger issue come next week and in the next few weeks where he's just going to have a hard time running and cutting. He'll probably be isolated into the pocket. You may see him this weekend, but I would not be surprised if he sat out this weekend. Although Pete Carroll says they're a go for this weekend. I just think he'll be very limited and he will not be the true Russell Wilson that we see. The bigger issue is Thomas Rawls to me. You know, Rawls had an ankle injury, did or didn't have surgery. It's really kind of unclear what happened to his ankle. Well, 2 weeks ago, he ended up having another ankle injury. And it turns out that he's broken kind of a hairline fracture in the bone of his ankle called the fibula. The big deal here is they're treating this without surgery. So you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks for him to be sitting out before he's back on the playing field. The real interesting thing is whether they decide to bring him to the operating room and put a rod right up that bone and get him back on the playing field within 2 weeks. That would be possible if he elected to have surgery. But the word right now is no surgery, 4 to 6 weeks out. I'm confident he'll come back. He shouldn't, you know, this should be behind him unless he has another, you know, another ankle injury.
Now, moving on to another high profile offensive guy who's breaking out this year. That's Willie Snead.
So this is a big deal. Turf toe is a big deal injury. It accounts for more lost time in NFL players than any other injury. So it's a big deal. Look for him to be out at least 2 to 3 weeks, if not up to 4 or 5 weeks. Turf toe, there's a lot of controversy of when these guys can get back, whether they need surgery or not. The word is no surgery right now. And I think you got to give him 2 to 3 weeks to get back before you see him in form.
Jarvis Landry, he's suffering a little bit with his, I believe it's his shoulder. What's going on there?
Yeah, so he had an injury to his shoulder, did not practice yesterday, was half go today. What exactly happened to his shoulder, we don't know. It has not been disclosed. But my guess is he just probably has a sprain or just contusion of the shoulder. He's day-to-day. I anticipate that he should be playing and be okay.
Jarvis Landry, short turnaround. I got a game Thursday.
Pay attention to the practice reports. If he has a full practice and does good well, I think you're good to go Thursday. If you hear that he's only playing half practice tomorrow, bench him. Don't activate him.
Yep. Ryan Matthews.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews, ankle stiffened up. This is the same ankle that he injured in the preseason, caused him to lose some time. I think he'll be fine this weekend. I don't anticipate a big deal here. It looked like just that he tweaked the ankle.
Okay, Jeremy Langford.
High ankle sprain. 4 weeks, my timeline. It does not look like he had a mild ankle sprain. This looks like a higher energy, high ankle sprain. 4 weeks.
Mohamed Sanu,
again, another shoulder injury where we don't know the exact issue. It sounds like he had an AC joint injury week to week. I anticipate that he should be fine this weekend. It's all about his pain. If his pain's good, he's good to go.
Eagles obviously have the bye coming up. Is that enough time for Zach Ertz to finally be ready to suit up again?
Yeah, I think so. I think he'll be good to go. The bye's really in their favor. They did the right thing, sitting him out this week. I think he'll be fine in 2 weeks.
Okay, and then last but not least, drum roll please, for the guy that people have been waiting for, Jamaal Charles. His absence has led to the breakout performance of Spencer Ware, which is right. Joe Holka's calling card. So this is of high importance to us all as well.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I mean, I think if Spencer Ware continues to perform well, why rush Jamaal Charles back? Give him the time he needs to recover. And I've told, you know, we've talked about it before. I think I would not be surprised if he sits out till the middle of October or late October. If you see that he's not on the playing field by November, start worrying that he may never get back on the field. But I think he's still in the timeline. I'm not worried. I don't think that they're going to get him back this weekend. I just don't think he's, from what I'm hearing, he's getting there, but I just don't think he's ready yet.
Not what anybody was anticipating, especially now that we're 3 weeks into the season. Doc, yeah, as always, appreciate all of your guidance, and hopefully you're helping people's fantasy teams with all the, with this wealth of knowledge. All right, so let's get back to another running back, and the one that I'm most surprised by is Wendell Smallwood. He was a lot of people saying take a flyer on him in the preseason because Ryan Matthews is so injury prone. I'm not surprised that he actually got to play. I'm surprised that he got 17 carries.
I haven't had a chance to look too deep into Smallwood. I've seen small pieces. I did a rushing expectation on Ryan Matthews this summer, and he performed very well. So I'm hoping that he can come back from this ankle injury and kind of work through that. But Smallwood, 17 carries, it's not something you can really ignore. 79 yards and a touchdown. He's obviously showed that he has what it takes to be productive when he gets that full workload. So I think Smallwood should definitely be added in all formats. And it's looking like he's a handcuff behind Matthews right now, who's got a kind of a spotty injury history as it is. And even if his ankle ends up being only a temporary thing, I think Smallwood's definitely in line for the start in against the Lions in week 5, which would be a great matchup. And then you'll be kind of glad that you added him now, even if Sproles does continue to be a factor. If Sproles ends up still getting like a Danny Woodhead type role, and if he can expand upon his catches in the backfield, I think that if he ends up getting goal line work, that it could kind of limit the upside for Smallwood. But he's definitely a guy I'm looking at, even though I'm hoping that Ryan Matthews can make it back.
You have number one priority in your league. Are you making a claim for Pryor, or are you making a claim for Smallwood?
I'm probably making a claim for Pryor, to be honest. I think that he's got more upside. I think that the offense in Philadelphia is not going to be an offense that's going to be fast-paced, and I think that Cleveland's going to be behind in a lot of games, so they're going to have to throw. Someone's going to have to throw. We're not quite sure who it's going to be, but I think that Pryor's got more upside. Smallwood, he's on my, I'm probably adding him if I'm in trouble at running back, but I'm still waiting it out for Ryan Matthews. I think it's definitely his job when he gets back.
Ryan Matthews, you mentioned he's injury prone. I mean, that's to say the least. I mean, he's insanely injury prone. That's the reason he's been kind of a disappointment, but he's always looked pretty good. So yeah, I was shocked. I didn't know that was going to happen. A lot of people like Smallwood in the preseason. I didn't really understand it, but I guess this is why. And by the way, is Darren Sproles a Hall of Famer or something close to it? This dude is amazing. I thought he's going to get done in the league like 3 years ago. This is insane.
I was just looking at Sproles because I have him on my team, you know, so I didn't really get a chance to know who the other back was and didn't really look into it because I just kept seeing Sproles on my bench racking up points. So, you know, it was a little tough. Once I found out there was another person, it was kind of like find out you were being cheated on by a girl a little bit, you know.
So are you worried about Smallwood affecting your Sproles stock?
I definitely think that might be a possibility. I don't know if it was just like the shock of Sproles just balling out in the game that the coach just kept giving him the rock or something, but I hope that he continues it. I hope Smallwood doesn't take away from it because I like Sproles.
I'm going to give you two names, and I'm going to see which of the two you like better. Or if you even like them both. Jamison Crowder with the Redskins, he is starting to emerge as one of their go-to guys, put up 4 receptions, 78 yards, and a touchdown on 7 targets. And then I got to see this firsthand. I've been clamoring for this guy for a while now. Adam Humphries, his first 100-yard performance, 9 receptions, 100 yards on 12 targets.
That's tough. I met Humphries personally. He seemed like a nice guy. He's a smaller slot guy, so I liked him. And then I haven't really got a chance to watch too much of Jamison, but I do like his points that he gets. So I mean, it's a little tough. If on my team, I don't think necessarily I really go after him just because I'm kind of stacked. But if I needed the help, I think I would go after Jamison before I would Humphries, just because if I see it out of Humphries for another game or two, then I may be sold, but I need to see a little bit more. They have Mike Evans over there. He's a freaking beast. And I just think that I don't know if he's going to be able to get too many touches with the receivers that they have over there. But I do like Jameson's game, though.
Somebody's been popping off about Humphreys all year. Is it you that I keep that I'm recalling? Somebody keeps talking about him. I'm not sure really why. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know. I don't know a ton about him, but yeah, V-Jax, I think he's going to step up a little bit. He had a kind of a bad drop in that last game that might have been a difference maker, although it was pretty wet out there. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Evans out there. Those guys are going to get the main targets. I mean, I don't think Humphreys is really startable in any kind, unless you're talking like a 16-team league or something like that. ASJ, man, how sad. You're lucky to get a beast like that in New York for nothing. Every team in the league could have used that guy. He's a savage. I think he's still going to turn it around. We all make mistakes. He gets a second chance. You dump tomorrow your own second-round pick. Now you get another second-round pick in return, a better one, a superior one, a better athlete, a better man. And so you should be thankful.
Yeah, I am thankful. That kind of worked out well for us. So hopefully he can get his act together and stop drinking and driving. I think that's his second one now. I mentioned Spencer Ware as being kind of I think Spencer Ware should be a Joel Holka fan. Let's put it at that. I want to allow you to touch on him if you would like, but I also want to ask you about Jeremy Hill. I didn't really make this public, but I did have Jeremy Hill down as a guy I thought was going to finally emerge this week. I just think he's too good. I think he's too talented. I didn't think the first 2 weeks were really a good representation of what he could be.
You didn't make it public, but we're supposed to believe you?
Well,
you just can take your word for it?
I'm telling you, you know, you don't have to believe it or not. I'm just telling you, he's a guy I thought would have a big week, and he did. This has been a crazy week for me. I was on the road, as I mentioned. But 17 carries, 97 yards, found the end zone twice again. So, Joe, talk about Jeremy Hill, and if you want to fluff that with more Spencer Ware talk, by all means.
Hill's an interesting one. I think, first off, Bernard was not one of my guys, really, from this summer. He's someone that performed pretty far below expectation from an efficiency standpoint. But the problem is, like, this backfield is going to be so hard to predict week to week. I feel like it's either going to be a game where Jeremy Hill scores two touchdowns, or it's going to be a game where Giovanni Bernard gets eight targets in the passing game for 100 total yards. I just don't know if there's room for both of those things to happen in the same game. And it's going to be tough to predict which game happens when. So I think, barring a Hill injury, I don't know if Bernard really scores enough touchdowns to be a viable week-to-week start. And I think, barring a Bernard injury, I don't know if Hill has startability either, just because he's not really reliable in the passing game. And if he doesn't get those red zone looks, he's a pretty touchdown-dependent guy. So it's not a situation I'm really going near, and I'm not really confident projecting it week-to-week, which is kind of the frustrating part. But Spencer Ware, obviously, if anyone listening has followed along to anything I've been doing, Spencer Ware has been kind of the poster boy for rushing expectation. He was a guy that I was high on even probably a month or so before the season started, before this big breakout. And he's a guy that just completely demolished my methodology as far as efficiency. And he was my number two overall player. And he has all the components, I think, of an excellent short yardage runner and a feature back, as we've seen. He's one of the best runners I've seen, as like working through contact. He's consistently looking to just punish people that come anywhere near him. And he's just had ridiculous efficiency. And I think his floor, even with Charles back, is a significant short yardage and goal line work. I do expect this to be, I think he's earned it for it to be more of a committee going forward. And Charkandrick West isn't even really in the same stratosphere as far as talent level, but I think that Ware has standalone value. We talk about even when Charles comes back, and he's a versatile player. And I think he's more than proved that he can be one of the best feature backs in the league when called upon. This past week against the Jets, he had 70 yards, but he also could have had a touchdown if he didn't fumble. And they haven't spent a lot of time ahead, aside from this week, with the six interceptions that Fitzpatrick threw. So we've seen Ware battle through poor game script, and he's been pretty effective these first 3 weeks. And I expect that to continue even when Charles comes back.
Another jab at Fitz tragic. Anyway, and we saw the doctor mentioned he doesn't know that Charles is even going to be back anytime soon, if maybe ever at all. So if you were paying attention to Joe from the summer, Ware is somebody that's on your roster, and you're happy because you have a running back to start on a weekly basis. And I'm one of those people. So thank you, Joe. You have any bold predictions for week four of the NFL season?
Everyone was kind of on the Jordan Reed stack last week with his quarterback, Kirk Cousins, and they kind of got burned. I think they absolutely go off this week. So that'll be my bold prediction. As far as something that I'm a part of outside of my rushing expectation methodology, I'm doing some work for rostercoach.com right now. And it was a site started by TJ Hernandez. I'm not sure who's heard of TJ, but if you haven't, you should definitely give him a follow on Twitter. He's one of the smartest DFS guys I know. And Roster Coach is basically a DFS education site where you're basically looking over the shoulder at us doing our DFS research, and it's all video-based educational content. And we also do some one-on-one coaching that's really taken off lately. So you can sit down with myself, TJ Hernandez, Chris Raybon, really pick our brains on the upcoming week and anything DFS related for that matter. So great project. I'm really happy to be a part of it. And you guys should all go check it out. You guys can find me on Twitter at Joe Holka. It's definitely not anything as cool as we heard earlier, but it's just, yeah, my name at Joe Holka.
Well, TJ was a guest of ours. I was referring to him as the Rock's stand-in. And Chris is somebody that's here in New York City with me. I'm trying to get him on a future episode, so maybe you can make that recommendation. And we should try to get Chandler on so you can introduce him to DFS. And he can build some weekly lineups and dominate that like he's doing with the season long right now. But, Mr. Jones, please, can you fill everybody in with how they can find you once again and what's going on with you and where you're at these days and what your immediate and short-term and long-term plans are, and a bold prediction that you might have for week four?
And Chandler Jones, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JetJones89. I'm hanging out right now in Los Angeles training pretty much just about every day. And I'm just, waiting to hear out from another team, waiting to hear another calling thing. I don't have an agent, so I've been calling teams myself and checking in on them and just kind of going through that route. Eventually after I'm done playing and when I'm ready to give it up and everything, I'm going to get into coaching. So I want to coach at the college level and hopefully back at San Jose State where I play, back at my alma mater. And any bold predictions for week four? That's tough. This weekend I'll be at the Saints and Chargers game. So I'm hoping that Melvin Gordon goes off this week because he is on my team again. And I just, I just want to see a good game anyway. So I just hope that somebody on one of those teams just goes off. I have good luck, so somebody will.
All right, so Melvin Gordon is the plan for week four for you. We're going with Melvin Gordon. I want to give you more accolades because you are humble and you don't brag about it, but again, you are the all-time leader in receptions and receiving touchdowns at San Jose State, same college that we now know Ty Irvin from. He was your teammate. You ran a 4.3 4.40, right?
Yep, 4.3, yep.
4.3 4. I mean, that's blazing. So the hands are real. The speed is real. The game is real. Let's go NFL. Get Caldwell on the phone to Hall. Don't forget, don't sleep on Chandler. He will be back. I'm telling you, this is a professional wide receiver right here. And Tahal's making the call right now. Mr. Bettick, tell everybody how they can find you and what's your bold prediction for week four.
Lord Bettick on Twitter and Snapchat, too, if you're curious as to what's going on there. But, yeah, what an honor to have the all-time leading receiver from San Jose State. It's a cool area, the Spartans. I've always been a fan. That's awesome. I'm a fan. Great to have you on the show. Also, Joe, it's great to have the running backs on here. I'm loving it. My bold prediction is, let me say, Matt Jones is finally going to get that 100-yard day. I think it's coming. I think they're going to weaken the defense. I think they're going to put up a bunch of points, and I think he's going to finally get probably 15, 18 carries, and I think he's going to get a hundo and a touchdown. That's my bold prediction. I liked him in the preseason, one of the few, and I'm still banking on it finally happening because – Cleveland's defense, I don't think they can hold up.
All right. Well, Matt Jones is a popular play this week as for reasons you just mentioned, but we'll see what happens. I don't think Miami thought they were in for the scare that they got last week when the Browns took them to overtime. So we'll have to see what happens. I want to thank my guests once again, Chandler Jones, Joe Holka. Follow them on Twitter. Check out their work. Phenomenal fantasy football players. And tweak their brains on Twitter. Ask them any questions you have. I want to remind everybody once again that every Friday, Tahala and myself are on Wentz's World, which is on 9:20 a.m. in Atlanta. And you can check out Nickel Press TV on iTunes for Waiver Wire Mondays, where I'm going over some waiver wire ads you might want to look into, and that's coming out on Monday afternoons. And then lastly, the Dream League presented by Razzball, where you can get an alternative way to indulge in fantasy football. We're not going over players or anything like that. It's basically a knockoff of the league, and it's a league of 10 writers, and it's a lot of talking smack and teasing and baiting each other. So definitely check that out. And other than that, we'll see you next week. Leave your comments, subscribe, and thanks for stopping by.
Football season has returned, and so has the Fantasy Black Book 2016 edition. Number one in fantasy sports for the 8th straight time on Amazon Kindle and on iTunes. The Fantasy Black Book has all of the information you need this season to separate yourself from the herd. The Fantasy Black Book is just $4.99. That's half as much as your precious magazines. Football is coming. The Black Book is ready.